this morning specifically, there was a reason I had to get up, and we had to have a building moved on our property, and I'd had a couple of people I was trying to get to come move this building for us, and it's very large, very heavy building. And it's a shed, one of those like you'd buy somewhere and they move out. But this one, when we got the property next door to us, was custom made because it was larger than anything on the lot that they had when the lady had it made way back, whenever she had it made. I say way back, you know, I don't know. The building's not that old, but I have no idea how old it is. But anyway, so it doesn't matter. What matters is this. That building is Paula's building to write in, and it was given to her specifically to write in that building. But we use that building to meet with Jesus, to prepare sermons, to have quiet time, to listen to worship music. She goes in there to write, to pray, and I'll go in there when I'm preparing sermons, and you know, it's just that it's the place that we meet with Him for us. And you know, God has done some stuff about in. Kind of spoke to me about in just circumstances and things in life to move that building closer to the house and make it more accessible for Paula to write in, because that's her calling and gifting, and that is happening, and she's going through that course. And there is, in the Vidorian, there is a column now that's coming, is going in there as often as possible. And it is so good because God has given her the gift to write. So, you know, when I'm having to work during the week and she's got the kids, it's nice to be able to walk right out there and she's got that, but yet she can still hear the kids and still do the writing and still be accessible to that. So anyway, so I was going to have that moved over this morning. So I got up really early because we had someone coming to move it, and he was going to come, and I knew that I needed everything to be ready. I had to disconnect power and water and sewer to the thing, and get all the furniture laid down because it was going to be drug across the yard and all of that stuff. So ended up being a long deal because he got there and his machine wouldn't move it, so he had to call another guy who had a bigger machine, and they both had to move it. One had to pull while the other pushed, and it was kind of a big ordeal, but it was so worth it. And I walked in the building this morning to start doing the stuff to prepare it, to move it. Walked in the building and I heard this line of this song, and it just began to repeat in my head over and over and over. The minute I stepped into the shed, this started playing. And it's a worldly song. It's not a gospel song by any means. I don't know much about it, to be honest. I just know sometime this month I heard this somewhere in a restaurant or something, and this one line is all I really knew, and this one line is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it is The Sound of Silence. Simon and Garfunkel, I think, wrote it, and in this thing, the very last of the vocals, what played in my head, or what the Holy Spirit played in my head, was this lyric. And the sign said, "The words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls." What does that mean? it played in my mind so much, and it's so abnormal because it's not something I would listen to, like the song. It's not something I listen to ever. I just heard it somewhere, I guess, but the Holy Spirit I knew was speaking to me because it kept playing in my mind and I kept feeling it. And I just knew that there was a deeper meaning, and it's not about the song at all. Not at all. It's simply the way that the Holy Spirit chose to communicate with me and pull something out. And so what I want to pull out of that is this. The words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls. What are tenement halls? I was like, what is that? What are those? I know what subway walls are. I get that. But what are tenement halls? So I looked up what tenement halls are. And what I wanted to point out while I'm looking this up, subway walls, I want you to think about something. The words of the prophets are written on subway walls and tenement halls. Okay. So it says this, tenement halls, this is, I Googled it, known for its lyric out of the Simon and Garfunkel sound, The Sounds of Silence, tenement halls are rooms or sets of separate residences in housing complexes and apartments, specifically, underline specifically, run down, overcrowded, and low-income apartments. Now, here's what I want to point out. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1 and just hold for a minute, okay? And just hang with me. I'm going somewhere. We got to go to New York City one time. I've actually been more than once, but first time wasn't a good thing. It was back when I was a teenager. But anyway, so subways, and the writings on the subways and in the subways is where the musicians would hang out and play for money, and it's where the homeless would be, and it's where the poor would be. And, you know, Jesus said that the poor we would have with us always. And we know that, and we know that every one of us has a calling. Every single one of us. Is put in us by God to do something great. Every single one of us. There's not one of us in this room that is not, God did not put in us to do something great. Why are the subway walls filled with the words of the prophets? Because you can go down, I mean, you can see they write all over the place. And no, it's not prophetic words like we think about in the good sense. But still, even in the world, why do people have songs that are really good? And why do people get these things? Because they are called, and that gifting is put in them by God. Whether they know Jesus or not, it's there. It's there in you and it's there in me. So it's our choice whether or not we do something with it. In tenement halls and subway walls that are filled with the words of the prophets in this song are filled not with the words of the prophets we're talking about in the Bible, but the words of those who have a gifting and a calling and have squandered it. They squandered it in drugs and alcohol and perversion and things of the world and vices, things that pull people down. And so their gifting is still there, so they still have it, because they still can paint, they can still sing, they can still write music, they can still write words on the wall, they can still write poems, they can still do these things. Why? Because God put it in there. And the giftings and callings of God are irrevocable. He doesn't take them back. He is not an Indian giver. He does not do that. But it's our choice whether or not we do something with it. Whether or not we choose to find out what our calling is, and whether or not we choose to do something with it. Whether or not we choose to develop it. Whether or not we choose to learn more about it, how to do it, what it is. Whether or not we choose to develop and grow in that calling. Jeremiah says this, chapter 1 and verse 5. Actually, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. And this is titled in my Bible, "The Prophet is Called." Okay? "Then the word of the Lord came to me saying," this is Jeremiah talking, "then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." God knew us. God knows us. God created us for fellowship. He created us to be like Him. Like Miss Nancy said. To walk like Him. To do what He did on this earth. Whether or not we do is up to us. It's our choice. We get to choose. I encourage you today to choose to fulfill that call. It is never too late. Even if we've messed up somewhere along the way, it's never too late to pick it back up. It doesn't go away. Even those people that are 75 years old on drugs in the subway, writing stuff on the walls and in the tenement halls, still have a calling on their life, and they can still choose Jesus and come out of that and do something incredible for God and have a story to tell in heaven. It's up to us. We get to choose. And we choose every day as believers to follow Him. We choose every day whether or not we're going to fulfill what He wants us to do, but we get to walk with Him. We get to choose to stay with Him or not. I want to point out something to you. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. I don't want this to be a somber, downer sermon. I want this to be an encouraging sermon, but I want it to be a reality check too. So, like, bear with me. Because it's for real. And I know it's what the Holy Spirit spoke. So, we're just going to roll with what He says. In Matthew 26, it says this. Now, remember, we talked about the giftings and callings of God are irrevocable. He put them in us in the womb. He formed us. He knew us. He designed us. He desires relationship with you and I. We are not cookie cutter. That's pretty obvious. We're not all stamped out the same. That's a given. We don't even have to think about that. Everybody has different giftings, different callings, different personality, all of that stuff. Why? Because God loves us, and He made each one of us special. He knew us in the womb, and He put giftings and callings in us, and He wants us to do great and awesome things for heaven, for the kingdom. So let me point this out to you. Because we get to choose whether or not to squander that or to do something great with it. That's up to us. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14. This is talking about Judas. It says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?'" Talking about Jesus. "And they counted out 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, Judas sought an opportunity to betray him, Jesus." I just want to highlight something, okay, to think about. Verse 14 starts off, "He was one of the 12. And he chose. He made a choice. He chose. He was one of the 12. He was one of the 12 men that walked with Jesus on the earth, that saw what Miss Nancy was talking about with his own eyes. The walking on the water, the miracle signs and wonders, the raising of the dead. He saw those things. Why? Because Jesus handpicked his disciples. And the disciples did not leave his side, except for certain times. They stayed with him. They stuck to him like glue. Because in that day, a rabbi, which Jesus was, a teacher, when he picked a disciple, when a rabbi in the Jewish culture picked a disciple, that disciple did everything with that rabbi. Because he wanted to learn everything about his life and how he did what he did before God, how he did it, why he did it, where he did it, when he did it, everything. And that's what they did with him. They walked in physical form in the earth with him and saw the miracles. And Judas, out of that, chose to sell him, to give him up. One of the 12. And said, Judas went into the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I give him up to you? What are you willing to give me?" I want you to think about something. It's not just drugs. It's not just alcohol. It's not just perversion. It's not just... sin is a whole list of things. We get to choose. We get to choose whether or not we're going to follow Jesus and fulfill our calling or seek our own way. Judas in Mark was called a traitor. Why? Because he went into the chief priest and said, "What will you give me if I give him up to you?" What are you selling out for? What am I selling out for? Let me point something out to you. He went to the chief priest and he said, "What are you willing to give me if I give him up to you?" And they counted out 30 pieces of silver and gave it to him. He didn't even negotiate. Now, you just... think about this. They wanted Jesus really bad. We know that. We know that. We know that they were wealthy. They would have paid a lot more. He didn't even negotiate. "What are you willing to give me?" Why is that important? Because it was selfish. A traitor is just a selfish thing. It's selfishness. I do what I want to do. The people riding on the subway walls and the tenement halls are doing what they want to do. Not just addicts, not just people in poverty, not just people in tenement halls, not just that, but we get to choose whether or not to fulfill our calling or just do what we want to do. Guess what? If God formed us in the womb and He knew us before then and He put a calling and a gifting in us, then guess what? If we do what we want to do, we're selling out. Whatever it is. If we don't choose to pick up that calling, it's one or the other. You can't be both. We can't be both. We can't do one than the other. Let me point something else out to you with this, okay? Follow and track with me here. Judas wanted the approval of the religious crowd and the world. Why? Who did Jesus hang out with? Sinners and drunkards and the lost. So then who were the disciples with? Jesus. Who was with who? The lost. So then Judas leaves him, goes to the chief priests who are the ones causing him the trouble. He goes to the religious crowd. He says, what will you give me? He wants to be on both sides of the fence. You know, in church since then, I mean, this is when Jesus walked the earth. It's not changed. It's changed forms. But it's the same thing. We can dress up. We can look pretty. We can go to church. We can do all the right stuff. And then go out here and leave here and do what we want to do. We get to choose to fulfill the calling of God or do what we want to do. It doesn't work that way. We think that what Judas did was more extreme than what we're doing. But the reality is, it's not. Because it's a choice to sell out. It's a choice to put on a front in the sense of, we don't even sometimes realize we're doing it to a degree, but it's a choice to be selfish and do what we want to do and not find out what our calling and gifting is and then develop it. And it's a choice also to just come in the house of God and put on a front and look nice and act the part and then walk out and do what we want to do. Whatever that is. We get to choose who we want to be. Judas chose. We know what Judas did. He went out and he hung himself after Jesus died because he realized, whoops, I messed up. Jesus gives us a choice. And he repeats it over and over and over again. And he put it in writing. And he put real prophets on the earth who hear his voice and speak it. And some of us are in this room are called to be pastors and prophets and teachers and all of those things. But guess what? We get to choose whether or not we develop in that gifting, find out what it is, and then develop it or not. We get to choose whether or not we're going to follow Him and stay faithful to Him in the sense of developing what our calling is that He made us to be or not. We get to choose whether or not we're going to develop that gift and calling or sell out for whatever. 30 pieces of silver doesn't just have to be drugs. Doesn't just have to be perversion. It doesn't just have to be those things that are obvious. Sometimes it's just work. Sometimes it's doing whatever we want to do. Sometimes it's locking ourselves up in our house and not really doing much of anything. Sometimes, and what I'm talking about specifically here, is it's just simply not desiring and choosing to find out what God formed us in the womb to be and do and develop that and pursue that and become that. That's simply what I'm saying. I feel like that's what the Holy Spirit's saying. You and I, we all know. We do, as people, as human beings, we do what we want to do. If I want to be a good fisherman, then I go fishing. And I study. And I watch. And I learn what works and what doesn't work. If I want to be a good carpenter, I watch videos, I work, I do the job. I find men that know what they're doing, and I watch them, and I learn them, and I get mentored by them. And I learn and I develop that trade or that craft that I want to do. As men and women, as human beings, if we want to do something, we are going to do what we want to do. And the choice is this. God formed us, and He put gifts and callings in us, and He gave us the choice of whether or not we're going to develop that. And by His Holy Spirit, He will give us help to develop that calling and gifting, if we choose to ask Him to develop it. And if we choose to invest ourselves in that calling and gifting. If we choose to invest ourselves and find out what that is. And then invest ourselves in developing that gifting and that calling. To become everything He wants us to be. We get to choose that. I don't want this to be a heavy sermon. I just feel like this is what the Holy Spirit wanted to say. And I don't have anything else to say. And no, it's not your typical Father's Day sermon. But we're not typical. I don't care what the religious crowd thinks. I don't want to be religious. I just want to do what Jesus says. I want to do what the Holy Spirit says. That's it. And that's enough. If we do what He says, we've done what we're supposed to do. And that's what I'm saying. He put a gifting and a calling in you. And we get to do it or not do it. And whether we do it when we're 20 or 15 or 80. The fact is, we have to choose to do it. We have to choose to develop it. Whether we have 10 years to do it, 5 years to do it, or 50 or 100, it doesn't matter. What matters is that at some point along the road, Judas walked with Jesus. And it says here, after verse 15, it said, and, you know, they counted out the silver. He said, "What if I deliver him to you, then what will you give me?" So in verse 16, it says, so from, this is talking about Judas, after they counted out the silver to him, It says, so from that time, he sought the opportunity to betray him. He made the choice. He made a choice out of the 12, out of being the 12, he made a choice. It says, so from that time he sought to betray him. That means we get to choose. Every single day we get to choose to develop our gift or not. But what I'm talking about is the overall giving it all we got to become all that he made us to be. Whatever that is for you, I don't know. It can be as much as you're called to be a prophet like Jeremiah. He formed you in the womb to prophesy to nations. Or it can be as much as holding the door. And guess what? Both are just as important. We think that one's less than the other. No, it's not. It is not. No matter how simple we think the calling of God is on our lives, every calling of God is important to God. Whether it's helps, whether it's pastoring, whether it's worship leading, whether it's whatever. It doesn't matter. It matters, completely matters. But it doesn't matter in the sense of one is more important than the other. It's all important. What is most important is that we choose it. We choose to find out what he says to us. That we choose not to squander it with all the distractions of life. And believe me, there are plenty. We all know that. The enemy will throw at us whatever works. 30 pieces of silver worked for Judas. He will throw at us whatever works. And we get to choose to take it or not take it. And we get to choose to pick up the calling and the gifts of God and develop them into something that he's called us to be. And do something with it. So if you guys would stand, I want to close here. If you're here tonight and you feel like you don't know what God's called you to do, I want you to come up. This altar is open. If you're here tonight and you know what God's called you to do and you've been doing something else, come up here tonight. This altar's open. Whether you kneel, whether you lay down, whether you want prayer, it doesn't matter. What matters is this, is that you decide tonight not to squander what he's called you to do, what he's called you to be. That we all decide tonight to do something with what he has called us to be. That we choose to find out what that is if we don't know, and if we know, then we choose to do it. So, Father, I just ask you right now in Jesus' name, God, that you would move over us tonight. That Holy Spirit, you would begin to hover right now over our congregation, over us, God, as individuals, each and every one of us. That you would begin to speak to our hearts, that you would begin to encourage and draw to you, to the Father. That you would begin to speak to men and women in this congregation, in this place tonight. And you would begin to speak to the callings and the giftings and the things that you formed in the womb, God. That you formed us to be, that you put in us. Those irrevocable things that you made us to be. God, I speak to those things tonight in Jesus' name. And I say, rise up, man of God. Rise up, woman of God. Become what you're called to be. Choose this day who you will serve. Choose use today to develop the callings and the giftings. Choose today to find out what they are. And choose today to follow Him in everything He's called you to do and be. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I just pray that and I release that over everyone here, God. We leave this area open, God, for any and everyone, God. And, Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that You would do everything that's in Your heart to do. And I speak to every individual here tonight, God, that whatever it is that You are doing, God, in the hearts of those here, myself included, God, that You would do it to completion. And that, God, we would allow You, that we would choose Your giftings and callings, that we would choose to not just allow You, but that we would choose to participate with You in that, what You've called us to do and be. That we would choose to follow, that we would choose to find out, that we would choose, God, to develop the gifts. And Father, in the Holy Ghost, right now, God, I just pray that You drop the want to into us. Drop the want to. Drop it in, Father. Draw. Drop that desire into us, that want to, in Jesus' name. Shora katata reki sitire bakonda reki tarakete. Hallelujah.